stand up to the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and
nobody greater, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater, nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
And so we see that our curse, the curse of our disobedience, the curse of our rebellion against God came upon him when he was on that cross. He was taking our curse so that we could have the blessing of the Lord. So now as a believer, I say the cross is the power. Glory to God, because I've got the blessing in my life now. That the blessing of Abraham, which is the blessing of the Lord, might come on us through Jesus Christ. So you can say, I'm blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, the blessing's upon me. Say, righteousness is upon me. Health and healing's upon me. Forgiveness is mine. Peace is mine. Because Jesus was paying the price for you. Who should have been on the cross? You should have been on the cross. You're the one that should have been punished for your sin. How many sins did you commit? You're the one should have been crucified and executed for disobeying a holy God. But Jesus said, I'll take it. Let me take their curse, Father, so they can have the blessing. Hallelujah. He took my bondage to sin. How many know that sin does nothing but put you in bondage and makes a slave out of you? Jesus took our bondage so we could have his freedom. And then he said this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then he said this, he that the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Then the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, he said, don't go back in bondage. I did enough for you to be free. I paid the price for your freedom. Glory to God. Can't you see God and Jesus working this thing out? Glory to God. I'm free from sin. Amen. I don't have to sin. Amen. The Bible says that sin has no more dominion over him. He conquered sin, death, and the grave. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? He took the sting out of death, and he took the victory out of the grave. And then he took the keys of authority from the devil. He conquered Satan when he died. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got freedom. Everybody say, I'm free. Jesus suffered for me. He suffered for my sins. The Bible says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive by the Holy Ghost. So Jesus suffered for me so that I could have the presence of God, so I could be brought back in the right relationship with a holy God. That's what I received when I received Jesus. Now, I didn't know this when I got saved. The only thing I knew when I got saved was that he had died for my sins. And I was happy about that. I knew that he had forgiven me of my sins. I knew he had died for my sins. That's all I knew. All of these things I'm sharing are things I've learned since I got saved. See, there's an inheritance for every believer. You need to know. This is going to make sense to you in a minute here. He suffered for me. Oh, he took my sorrows. Oh, if you look at the scriptures in the Bible that talk about the sorrows of mankind, the heartache, the heaviness, the depression, the fear, they all create sorrow of heart. And Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Bible says, surely he had borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows. Why did Jesus take our sorrows? God took all the sorrows of the human race and placed them on Jesus when he was on that cross so that you could have joy and gladness. So the Bible says with joy, we draw water out of what? The wells of salvation. So there's joy that's supposed to be yours as a believer. You're not supposed to go to bed depressed and wake up depressed. If you go to bed depressed and wake up depressed, you need to be delivered. You might need to be delivered from yourself and your own stinking thinking, because you have not magnified the Lord. If you look at the cross every day, it's hard for you to get depressed when you realize I've been made free. Oh, I'm healed. Even though I might have pain in my body, I know God can't lie. I know I'm healed. Glory to God. I know the words that work in me. I'm declaring abundance when I can't change a quarter, because I know it's the will of God. I'm going to hold fast to my confession of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, and then finally, he tasted death for me. He experienced what it was like to be separated from a holy God. When he went to the cross, some of his final words was, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to tell you, that moment, he began to feel what you and I feel, that separation that came in Adam when he sinned against God. He began to feel that God was no longer there and that he had been abandoned by God. He was just feeling the effects of sin. So he tasted your death and my death. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is a fact that he died. Romans 5:8. He tasted death for me so that I could have eternal life. Amen. That's what I received when I received Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, he took all of that into himself so that I could have a complete redemption package. Everything I need to overcome, everything I need to win. He even went to the cross so we could get the Holy Ghost. Amen. He says, I got to go, boys, because if I don't go, the Holy Ghost is not going to come. The Holy Ghost brings the power and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the victory that we have over sin is manifested in our life through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He died so we could be anointed in this life. Hallelujah. So we could overcome and have victory. So we would not be overcome and defeated. The human race was overcome and defeated until Jesus came. Let me tell you, the day that God raised Jesus from the dead is one of the greatest days in human history. There's no day like the day that God raised Jesus from the dead, because things changed on that day. There was a change in order that day. There was a transfer in authority that day. There was a transfer in power. There was a transfer that took place the day God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to tell you, there's a transfer from death to life, from poverty to blessing, from the curse to the blessing, from sickness and disease to life and health. There was a grand transfer that took place that day. Hallelujah. Now, I was reading this scripture here where Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I've always asked myself, what cross is Jesus talking about? Now, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe he's talking about keeping your eyes on the cross of Jesus and acknowledging what has been provided for you through the cross. And with that knowledge and that revelation, follow him. With the revelation of the cross and the price he paid and all the things that are now yours, they're yours whether you got them or not. Whether you're experiencing it or not, it's been accredited to your account. Some of y'all got stuff in your heavenly account you ain't never accessed. I told our congregation a few weeks ago, if somebody put $1 billion in a bank account with your name on it, how would you respond? First thing you do, you get real happy, wouldn't you? All right, wouldn't you want to know then, after you get excited about it, you say, now, why did they do it? Some people don't want to say, look, I don't even need to know. I want to know why they did that for me. Why he put money in my account? Why did he do it? Then I'd want to know where the bank is, so I can go make a withdrawal. Start using what's in my account. You see, it can be in the account and you just let it sit there. Right? You can starve to death and have money in the bank. You know that they found a man in Chicago that had died a number of years ago, died of starvation. They found him in an abandoned building, and he had a money belt on him with over $20,000 in it. He had $20,000 on him and he starved to death. Well, don't think he's so stupid. Some people are just that stupid. They don't look what Jesus did. He gave us an inheritance worth more than $1 billion. And some people ain't making no withdrawals. You have an inheritance worth more than $1 billion. You say, Pastor, is it worth that much? I'll tell you it's worth more than that. Let me tell you, you can't even pay for this here with $1 billion. You can get all the gold in Fort Knox and not be able to pay for this. You can't afford it with money. You can't afford this salvation right here. That's why God had to put it on the basis of grace. Make